Motherfuckers, come on, 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 motherfuckers, come on. I got 7 Mac 11s, about 8, 38s, 9, 10 Mac 10s, the shit's never end. You can't touch my britches, even if you had MC Hammer and them 357 bitches. Biggie Smalls, the millionaire, the mansion, the yacht, the 2 weed spots, the 2 hot blocks. That's how I got the weed spot. I shot Dredd in the head.
All right, folks, welcome back to the fourth official podcast. It's episode... Shit. I don't know what episode it is. Damn it, not again.
What number do you think it is?
It's 23. This is episode 23.
Nope, it's 24. 23 was last week.
22 was last week. This is 23.
Nope, the 23 was last week.
I think this is 24.
No, you're right. It's fucking 24.
Got him!
Great start to the episode.
Woo. It's noon.
Yeah, so for those of you who don't know, and we're 24 episodes in, I mean, you should know. My name is Austin David, here with Brad Newton.
Hi.
And on the phone is Gavin Eubank. Gavin.
Hey, guys.
There he is. Kyle's actually going to be in Chicago at the U.S. men's national team game to watch them lose. Meanwhile, Brent is dying at home because the hurricane almost killed him. So that's where we're at today. It's just us three.
Yeah, there's a tropical storm in Orlando, I guess.
We always joke about how the hurricane almost killed us, or if it will kill us or whatever. And
but it actually killed someone this time.
Well, near death. Did it actually kill someone other than us four or five?
No.
Okay,
I don't think
well
so.
Then.
I was just throwing Brent, you know, just getting that Prio bit ready.
Yeah, we have a drop on here that says him saying I'm alive, but
we can't actually confirm that right now.
He tweeted a few minutes ago saying this is judgment day for Jurgen Klinsmann, but that's mm-hmm. just all I have from him.
Yep. We're all going to basically the... This is a we're all gonna die, so fuck it anyways kind of game for Jurgen Klinsmann. So he's just throwing like the U.S. Soccer Federation tweeted out a really bad formation pick that basically made it look like Michael Bradley and Clint Dempsey were starting at center back today. So I was like, oh, that's
yeah, they know. Did that last game, didn't they? Where like the formation had nothing to do with the actual picture.
It's just like by do. Height or not. There was no real like
no.
They were
any
I
correlation.
Think what they were doing was they were lining everybody up, but just by number and not by actual position.
Which aren't you supposed to be lined up by number and by position? Like, isn't that how it works?
Yes.
That's why they call it a 9 and a 10. You know, that's why you have numbers.
Yeah, but U.S. just doesn't do things per normal. Like, they just do their own thing. They don't. They want to be different. They want to stand out in the crowd.
I'm looking at the picture right now from left to right, starting at the bottom. They have Jeff Cameron, who's number 20, Clint Dempsey, who's number 8, Brad Guzan, who's number 1, Michael Bradley, who's number 4. They have Fabian Johnson, who's 23. No, that doesn't make sense. They're just lined up however the fuck they want them there.
Pretty much.
But then
again, it's Jurgen Klinsmann, so he may actually have done that.
But then top even like... Yeah. I would not actually be surprised if he started Clint Dempsey and Michael Bradley at center back and then put Giassi Zardes and Jermaine Jones up at forward. Because that would end well.
I mean, it'd be kind of interesting. The game's actually starting like right now.
I mean, in a way, watching an elephant give birth is interesting.
It's true. It's also kind of disgusting in a way.
Yeah, more to my point.
So you're saying the U.S. is interesting and disgusting at the same time?
It's just, I mean, isn't that what our country's motto is?
Interesting yet disgusting?
Yeah. I'm not from here, so I don't really know.
Our country. In quotation marks.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
that's Canada's.
It's the royal we.
The royal we. Okay. So Kyle's at the game. He is. If you want to bother him, and you're going to listen to this way after the game has started. He's in section 151, row 2, seat 3.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this after the game is already finished, go back to is it at Soldier Field?
Yeah.
Okay. So go back to Soldier Field. And take that seat out and just burn it.
Burn it in effigy.
Yeah.
In memory of Kyle Foley.
Or any other number of people who've sat there from the, what is it? How long has Soldier Field been there? Like 75 years or something at this point?
Oh, longer than that.
All right. What so,
Soldier Field? It's been there for a while.
It's gone under renovation like several dozen times because nothing new in Chicago ever gets built.
It's true.
I saw some pictures of it. It looks nicer than I thought it actually would.
It's a nice
football stadium.
Yeah, but you're right about nothing in Chicago ever being new. Like my family used to have a bunch of what's it called? Fireproof storages.
You mean America's most openly corrupt city doesn't do anything fast?
No, not at all. So my family had a bunch of fireproof storage buildings back in the 1920s. They're still there. Like they've just been like repurposed.
They're still riddled with asbestos.
I wouldn't say that. I don't know, actually. I mean,
it's a safe bet.
It's possible.
I will say this. Last time I was in Chicago, they didn't have the, what is it, on the Sears Tower where they have the little sky deck out there where you can stand on like a
glass room.
Like a Lexan like plate and just look down. So that tells you how long ago. It was 2009 when I was in Chicago last time. I went to Portillo's, which I don't even think Kyle's gone there yet.
Well, you know, there's a Portillo's in Florida now.
Is there?
Yeah, there's one in Tampa.
Huh.
Yeah. Because they made a big deal out of it, and I was like, are they going to be expanding to Orlando?
They do make good sandwiches.
They make a lot of good things.
The joke is they're a hot dog place.
Yes. I get that.
That's the joke.
I was trying to move away from that because... Hot dog is not
a
sandwich.
How would a sandwich place make hot dogs, though? I don't get it.
A sandwich place wouldn't make hot dogs, but a hot dog place could make a sandwich.
They actually make like hot dog buns and actual sandwiches, too.
They do make legit like hot Italian.
Hot Italian sandwiches, hot pastrami, and good milkshakes. Anyways, moving on from food and Chicago and everything, let's talk about some soccer, because we've spent the last like 7 minutes not talking about soccer.
That's for the better.
Yeah, I mean, we'll start off. But let's get the really shitty stuff out of the way in the beginning.
So we're talking about the U.S. men's team.
We got that out of the way.
Oh,
Do you really want to talk more about them?
No,
exactly.
The less said about them, the better.
Well, let's quickly talk about the only other team in Orlando that's currently playing, because Orlando City and the Orlando Pride are both have off. Pride played this weekend, actually, at
Dr.
Western
Phillips
New York.
High? I thought school's out for the summer.
What?
No, never mind.
I got very confused there. So, yeah, OCB. They were riding a nice win streak up into the point that they met Louisville City, and then it just kind of went shitty, like really, really bad. They were winning and winning well. Like they came off a nice 2-1 win against the Charlotte Independents, and they came up against Louisville City FC, the top team in the East, and all of a sudden they just stopped playing well. 4-3 final. The less it's said about it, the better, I would say.
To be fair, this is not reminiscent of the Chicago Fire match that Orlando City had earlier this year, where they went up a man and yet still couldn't do anything with it?
Yeah, except this was worse.
Yeah. Well, you know, hey, coaching is coaching, right?
Yeah, but James O'Connor, former Orlando City player, outcoached Anthony Pulis.
About that.
To be fair, O'Connor does have a few years under him. He was coaching before he even retired. So,
and you know, Orlando City is really kind of treating the way they send players around to OCB. They are kind of just treating it as like a place for spare parts.
Kind of, yeah.
I honestly don't think they really care if they're winning. Like, I don't think the club cares if OCB is winning or not. Just if the players are developing.
I beg to differ about that. That's the
mentality of just about every minor league franchise in sport.
So when I went on the broadcast for OCB, one of the things that they told me to mention and mention ad nauseum all the time is that winning championships breeds development.
Yeah, I mean, you could say that like openly, but You don't want to, okay, first of all, if you're not going to say that and you'd be like, hey, we're just here to develop the players, you're going to treat it like preseason for an entire year. And no one's going to want to come out to that. So, of course, you're going to sort of mask it as like, no, we really want this to be good so you could continue to have people show up to your games.
Right. But the issue is right now, no one's showing up to it anyway.
Well, I think there's a performance issue there that kind of bleeds into that. Also, the facility that they're currently at seats like what? Like 500 people?
Yeah, but there's like a few hundred showing up. Like, you got the people behind the goal, and you got the people on the sideline.
They successfully managed to put their development team.
Well, let me ask you a question. What's the entertainment value as far as like in between the whistle goes?
What do you mean?
Next to
like
nine.
do they put on like little shows at halftime or anything?
No.
Oh, see, that's why
they put
the
on videos on the
I
video board.
I go to the Daytona Cubs because I love to go watch a nice game. And there's also a lot of fun in between. And they even do that in other soccer teams. But if there's nothing to draw you out there, you know, it's a soccer
team. Like, the
fun.
Solar Bears do, like, enough goofy stuff during intermissions.
I even went to a New York Red Bulls game, and during halftime, they did a whole bunch of, like, little kids came out and played soccer. Like, yes. Even that.
So I think what we should do is come up with some ideas to make OCB...
Mainland game at halftime? I feel that.
Make OCB great again?
Yeah, make OCB great again.
That is definitely going to be the headline of my next article.
There you go.
I'm going to buy a purple, like a blank purple trucker hat and just get that embroidered on there. Make OCB great again.
So now the question is, after the season's over, depending on how they do and how attendance is, because if attendance stays
bad,
the way it is...
Worse.
Do they move to the new stadium?
Yes.
Oh, they're going to regardless.
Because here's the thing, and here's a counterpoint to the whole bring it back to where the locals are and bring it into the new stadium where they control everything. They're essentially getting like labor from the Eastern Florida State people for cheap. Like, they don't have to pay their own people in order to put on the broadcast. And it's a very good broadcast. Not only the broadcast, but also the security... the people working the stadium, the people working just out there in general, they're all from Eastern Florida State. They don't have anything to do with Orlando City or Orlando City B. They only have about 4 or 5 staff members out there per game, if that. So they don't have to pay too much of their own staff to do things.
Here's the thing. Eastern Florida State College, they're not even the official like education partner of Orlando City. That's Seminole State College.
Right.
This partnership between like Orlando City and Eastern Florida State College, it could be just axed, and the club will not blink an eye at it.
No, I know. They're only using their facilities. This has nothing to do with their education value.
No, exactly. But that's.
Did anybody else just get a four freaking quadruple kill?
Oh yeah, because you're playing Overwatch while doing this.
I wish I was playing.
I mean,
Overwatch
here's my argument.
We're all
it's
playing
like,
Overwatch.
You're building. They're building this new stadium that's privately financed. You're gonna have to put as many games in there as you can to maximize your profit.
I don't even think that's gonna happen, though. I think they'll end up playing at their new training facility. It's not a stretch of the imagination just to put.
Well, the problem is USL requires at least 5,000 seating, and
right,
I know, they're not planning to put anywhere close to that many seats in the new facility.
It's not that hard to just put up like metal bleachers and then put like a halfway decent overhang over it. I understand that the club might be a little strapped for cash right now, considering they kind of expanded really fast, but it financially for like the long term, and I'm saying this playing with other people's money here, it probably makes more sense to, if you already have a facility that you're going to have like continued maintenance on anyways, to just put them there. Whereas if you put them at the stadium, that's going to cut into like, you're going to have more maintenance required on the turf there for your good field. Whereas you can throw your development team out on what is basically a glorified practice field again. That's going to get beat up and you're not going to hit that cost quite as much.
So let's look at the attendance numbers currently for all levels of professional soccer in the U.S. Orlando City is currently second behind the Seattle Sounders, averaging 35,000 fans per game. OCB currently fourth to last in USL, averaging apparently That doesn't sound right. Oh, they've had a total of 8,000 fans at the game. They're averaging 1,000.
How many games have been played?
Eight.
Eight. So you're averaging 1,000 people a game. So that 5,000 seating requirement, you're hitting a fifth of that every week. So why even care?
So let me put it to you this way. Toronto FC 2, FC Montreal, and New York Red Bulls 2 all play in the other stadiums that their MLS counterparts play in. Toronto FC averages 900 fans a game. FC Montreal averages 500. And New York Red Bulls 2, who play in the Red Bull Arena, average total 359 fans per
game.
And
it all comes back to the point is everybody knows this is a minor league team, and they don't really care. It's basically just reserves.
What's interesting about
there's
that?
There's no excitement to it.
What's just interesting about the other part is this is only OCB's first year. There's other teams been around, and in some
those
cases,
other teams, this is only their second year. Because those teams only came in like last year.
Forgive me. Hold on.
By the way, the Orlando Pride are 23rd, averaging 13,000 fans, which is better than. Actually, it's not better than any MLS team in the average. They're just below FC Dallas, who are averaging 13,700, and Chicago, who are averaging 14,000. But Orlando's only played 3 games. Meanwhile, Dallas, Chicago, they've all played 8 or 7. So, take that for what you will. Anyway, what were you saying?
That is interesting. But, so... The Charleston Battery, their stadium, their capacity is only 5,100. Like, they barely meet the qualifications. FC Montreal, they don't even meet the qualifications for that because they fit in a 3,500 seating stadium. So I'm going to guess that USL plays really fast and loose with that seating requirement rule.
I think you have a year after you join the league to acclimate.
Yeah. Hold on, FC Montreal, when did they're new this year, I think.
No, their first season was 2015.
Was it? Damn.
Yep, it was last year.
Okay. Interesting.
You have them, the Charlotte Independents, New York Red Bulls 2, Toronto FC 2, the Colorado Springs Switchbacks, who have a 4,000-seat stadium.
Interesting.
Portland Timbers 2, theirs again, 4,892, which, I mean, that's kind of surprising for Timbers because they're usually pretty well... They're a team that usually has their stuff together. St. Louis FC, they were also founded. Their first season was last year. They're 5,500-seat stadium. So, again, a lot of these clubs, I think they're playing, like...
Really close to the vest?
Pretty close to the vest. I mean, another team that was added last year is Seattle Sounders FC 2, and they have a 4,500-seat stadium.
They're averaging 1,000 fans per game, by the way.
Right, but it's kind of ridiculous that like USL would say like, "Hey, you have to have 5,000 people here," when a lot of MLS teams they have B teams that are in the USL, they're not even hitting that attendance.
Well, I think
mark.
The thing is USL is trying to brand themselves as a legit league and a legit competitor to NASL, and by doing that, you got to have teams with bigger stadiums capable of having a lot of fans. Instead of just like these little rinky-dink parks, like some of them could probably get away with.
Yeah, no, I understand that part. Because you want to, I mean, the reality of it is the USL is the third division of U.S. soccer.
Yeah.
The NAS.
Yes, realistically, probably not.
Probably not. Like, if you were to go like head-to-head against every NASL team with every USL team, I think it would be pretty evenly split. I mean, there'd be a lot of parity there. I see why why the benefit of having those like three levels of, soccer here in the U.S. is good because it's spreading it out and putting it in markets where people probably otherwise wouldn't get to watch an MLS team.
Penalty to the United States. What, 2 minutes into the game?
Oh wait, really?
Yeah.
Ha! Hilarious.
Looks like they're gonna go up 1-0 if Dempsey hits this.
And Bobby Wood got shoved.
Did he?
That's great.
That's great. All right. Well, as Clint Dempsey is going to try and put the U.S. up in a game that, I mean, we kind of think they're going to lose or tie.
I'm saying tie. I don't think they just outright lose, but I do think Joel Campbell does cost Jurgen Klinsmann his job.
You just want that underlying storyline to be happen.
I really do. All right, and then he leaves Arsenal for greener pastures.
Orlando City.
I wouldn't put my hopes into that bucket.
Yeah, but... nah, I'm just saying. All right. So as Copa America's going, and Gavin's going to update us if Dempsey scores.
He hit it.
He did? Yep. Well, good job, U.S.
Don't tread.
Let's talk about Copa America stuff and MLS stuff as a whole. Well, Brad, you wrote an article about this on the mainland today about attendance and everything. What's your opinion on the tournament so far? Not even just attendance wise, but I mean,
I'm really glad for the sake of MLS comparisons that San Francisco doesn't have an MLS team.
Because they also had Argentina there.
They had two matches there. They had the U.S.-Colombia game as well that also drew 60,000 plus people.
Oh, yeah.
And that was not a good match. So, I mean, here's the thing. Some of these less than stellar matchups and draws, I mean, Orlando really got the short end of the stick as far as, like, they hosted three matches. They're going to host three matches, and none of them are, like, going to blow you away. At least, like, at first glance. I mean, that Bolivia, you know, Panama game was actually pretty entertaining. But Brazil, Haiti, I guess is going to be fun, kind of.
Yeah, if Brazil had actually any stars.
Did you just like?
Yeah, fart a mouth fart noise. That's actually how I was thinking about that match too. I'm not really excited for it. But I am glad Kaká's not going to be playing in it. So there is that.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, did you guys see that? I think Austin posted it in the mainland chat today about
Dunga.
Dunga said MLS trainings are weak.
Yep.
Weaker because of Kaká's getting hurt.
I mean,
I would like to disagree with that, but I mean,
I think if anything, though, it proved they're probably they're unnecessarily physical if they're getting hurt more frequently.
I mean, you're talking about a guy who's 34 years old, and oh, why is he getting hurt? Oh, let's just blame it on
old.
MLS. Yeah, maybe because he's old. I mean, Kaká is his own personal trainer. He doesn't have a team's personal trainer.
Yeah, but I can see where the argument's coming from just because the last two times he's been called up, he's been injured.
He's gotten hurt both times, yeah.
So you're like, even if, like, Dunga may not be well versed in how MLS works because he's probably never seen an MLS training session. Let's be kind of fair about that. So
Kaká's going to him and telling him that these are rough on me. But at the same time, I don't feel like that's
He's just making kind of sweeping generalizations about MLS because he's just assuming that it's not very physical or competitive because of Kaká.
And, I mean, that's really his only basis of comparison. I mean, there's no one else. I mean, is there really anyone else?
There's no other Brazilian in MLS that's been called up to the national team any time in the most recent time that Dunga's actually been a manager.
Yeah. So,
Ever.
I can't think of any Brazilian national team player that's played for MLS that's been called up to the Brazilian national
MLS
team.
Legend Baptista.
Oh, while he's in MLS.
Yeah,
right.
Julio.
That was the joke. yeah, I mean, if Kaká's level of fitness, and he's already been hurt plenty this year, like he sat out like the first, what was it, four games of the season?
Something like that, yeah.
So, he's already kind of like not at 100%. Like it's fairly obvious watching him play. Like, yeah, he's had a few good games where like, oh shit, the whole world's on fire. And it's because of Kaká serving up to Kyle Larin. But at the same time, if he's doing like one or two training sessions with the Brazilian national team and he gets hurt, that's not a clear sign that he's 100%.
It's almost like a blessing in disguise for Orlando City, because they don't have to, Now Kaká can go home. He can rest. He doesn't have to play as much as he may have wanted to.
Well, didn't they say he just flew out to Brazil anyways?
Yeah, like, to go get treatment. And he brought an Orlando City staffer with him to go get treatment.
That's not a bad vacation.
Not at all. He's going to go visit his kids, I think.
Are out there. Yeah, his kids are out there. I mean, it's plausible, but it still seems weird. Honestly,
it's plausible what?
I mean, it's plausible for him to go there.
Oh, yeah.
To see his kids.
Absolutely. But. You got time. You got... You know, mm-hmm. he may be coming back.
He's not. It's not like he's got like any.
He's still training.
Yeah, no.
It's not like any matches are coming up.
It's true. They got a whole week off until the next match.
Even if he was healthy and
next weekend, it's not even this coming weekend. It's next weekend, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's open cups on Wednesday. Even if he was healthy and not at COPA, he wouldn't be playing that.
Wednesday as in next Wednesday, not this coming Wednesday, yeah. As in tomorrow. Yeah,
not tomorrow.
So yeah, no, I mean that
would be today for most people who are listening to this.
Probably. All right. So let's talk about some more COPA stuff. What do you think of the game so far, Gavin?
What are your opinions? Watching it right now.
From the COPA game?
No, just games right the now? Games in general.
Oh. They have not been of quality.
So it turns out that that deuce penalty that he just converted was his 50th men's national team goal, and it's also the same location where he scored his first goal in 2005 in Chicago against England.
It's also the opposite location of every Kaká penalty taken this season.
Went to the right. He did go to the right.
Yeah.
Interesting hot takes from Gavin. Anyway, what you said?
It's
they're
not really a hot take if it's true, though.
Yeah, I know. I'd love to see one of those heat maps for Kaká and his penalties.
It's just the left side's like nuclear orange.
No. I mean, because he sometimes goes high, goes middle, goes low. I kind of want to see like how he frequents that, because he always goes to the left. He did go straight down the middle. He's never gone right in MLS taking a penalty kick.
He hasn't really taken that many penalties in MLS either, but
almost half his goals were penalties last year.
Were they?
Yeah. All right. He didn't score that many goals, but I think it was like...
I think he scored like 9 or 10.
Yeah, 9. I don't think he hit double digits.
I think he was like 9 and 5. With
so
like
4.5 of his goals were from the penalty mark.
There you go. You can count half of them, half of one of them, because Bill Hamid saved one of them and he headed it in.
Yeah, I remember that one.
So that's the half.
Yeah, all right.
All right, let's talk more about the tournament in general. Can either of you explain to me why, for some reason, there have been two games where during the national anthems they have played the wrong national anthem? One of them, they played Pitbull.
I mean, if you're looking for a way to describe this tournament, I would go with Pitbull. Isn't that it's
also? Should we not address the fact that Pitbull is technically a universal? Is the universal anthem, not a national anthem? Because I think that's making too bold of a claim for any one country to just
anthem for terrible.
I think that's too bold for any one country to just go ahead and claim Pitbull.
He's Mr. Worldwide.
Yeah, exactly. Dale.
God. I hate Pitbull. All right, but yeah, seriously, why is that all of a sudden become a thing? But they've played the wrong national anthems.
Because fire the music technicians?
Because let's be fair, there's really only one national anthem that anyone needs to know. And I'll let you decide which one that is.
Is it the anthem from Good Charlotte?
It's the theme song to Team America World Police. It's actually the Mickey Mouse Club.
You know what would be hilarious? If someone during one of the U.S. men's national team games, instead of playing the national anthem, just played Team America's anthem.
Are you talking like an actual like PA worker?
Yes.
He would be fired immediately.
Right, but wouldn't it be hilarious?
If he just like barred the door before and then just let it play?
America. Like they're just standing on the field, hands on their hearts, and just like, okay.
And then you just see Clint saying every word on camera.
That'd be fantastic.
Books! Yeah.
All right, more stuff about COPA. We didn't discuss this last week when COPA was just starting, but I feel like we
because it hadn't started yet.
Right. I feel like we should still talk about this. The weird COPA America rules for this tournament when it comes to the knockout rounds. If it goes past 90 minutes, it goes straight to penalties, and you can also have a fourth sub.
Because, you know, even basketball games should be decided by free throw contests.
That's how it used to be in, like, the 50s.
Right, but that's why they changed it.
That's exactly why they changed it. And now now essentially it's like taking the modern NBA game and saying, let's go back to what it was in 1950. Let's get rid of the shot clock.
It's really stupid. That's why playoff games in the NHL don't go to shutouts either. They just keep going sudden death periods.
Yep.
And that's honestly, I think golden goal should be kind of what you go back to.
Golden goal. Have we even had golden goal in Copa before?
No.
See, that would be more entertaining because then it's like in the run of play. It's so painful and for the others. Like if you're rooting for the side that loses in the penalty shootout, it's like it's
not only that, but let's assume for a second that you play the extra minutes, and then you have a team that's like clearly gassed after one, and then suddenly goes down a goal. You still have to play another half of soccer, even though that team is basically dead. Just end it.
Pretty much. Gavin, opinions?
I've always been in favor of golden rule. Just, I mean, it's like the hitting a walk-off home run. I mean, it's just awesome. You know?
Yes.
Like, I think I was playing FIFA once, hit a bicycle kick with David Villa on golden goal. Dude, that was the like best thing I've ever
done. That's how you know it was FIFA, because that wouldn't happen in real life.
Yeah. Good one. But yeah, you talk about the
walk-off. It's like in the NFL. The team gets the one possession, and then after you score the touchdown. I mean, it's awesome.
Exactly. And this, it's fun. You know, this is an American tournament. Why not make it as American as possible?
Why not make it an MLS, like in the playoffs? I feel like that should be a fun.
Interesting. Sounds like an article should be written about this.
Yeah, we'll get there in the playoffs.
Yeah, one day. Yeah. Anyway.
We'll see.
Let's go.
Maybe in 5 years when Orlando City makes the playoffs, Simon.
5 years?
I'm being optimistic.
Jeez.
Yeah, I don't.
Six out of ten teams, guys. You don't even think they could make the sixth spot?
Well, until Adrian Heath starts making earlier subs.
Okay. Okay, now.
I'm going to get blocked by Kaylee Kyle again.
All right, let's move on from Copa. Talk a little bit about some local stuff. Local being national, MLS, NASL, USL stuff.
Oh, I thought we were going to talk about me going to Moe's earlier, but okay.
We'll get to that later.
I'm actually wearing my Moe's Palm Coast Rock shirt that they ran out in the opening week.
Huh.
Okay.
Oh,
it's really weird. It's really weird that you have a Moe's shirt
and you don't work at Moe's.
They were handing them out. It says Palm Coast Rocks on it. You know, it's ironic because it most certainly
factually inaccurate shirt.
Yeah. Well, are there a lot of rocks in Palm Coast?
It's not Palm Coast, comma rocks. It's just Palm Coast Rocks.
You can always draw like the name. Draw the comma.
That actually sounds like a pretty entertaining name for like a minor league baseball team. We're the Rocks.
Palm Coast Rocks.
You're a farm team for the Rockies.
I think that USL teams should adopt the idea of minor league baseball teams in their naming processes.
Yeah, but like the Iron Pigs have nothing to do with the Phillies.
Eh?
The Cyclones have nothing to do with the Yankees.
Are they the team that uses bacon on their hat?
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they also had the
Philly cheesesteaks, right?
Yeah, they had a cheesesteak hat too. They had two different ones. They had one with onions and one without.
Step one for making OCB great again.
There it is.
Jersey differences.
If you're going to be a minor league team, act like a minor league team.
Have like a tuxedo jersey night. The Orlando Solar Bears do a really good job of like doing like different theme nights with their
jerseys.
They do
fantastic jerseys.
You know what I think?
They raffle off the jerseys afterwards to make more money for the club.
Uh-huh. OCB should play as Orlando City's USL jersey. That's what they need to do.
The old red
the
ones?
The old red ones.
Bring back the, what did they use? Lotto. Bring back Lotto.
Lotto was 2013 and 14, I think.
Yep.
2012 and 2011 was
Umbro.
Yeah.
The first 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could do Lotto. That. You could actually have a Manatees jersey.
I was a fan of the stripe.
I think they should just totally adopt the Orlando City Manatees and make them the team in Palm Coast.
The problem is
not in Palm Coast. In Melbourne.
The Melbourne. Well, that's got some alliteration to it. Melbourne Manatees.
I think there's already a...
the Brevard County Manatees. I want to say they're for the Brewers minor league team.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, who cares? Like, they're not even in the same sport. Like, it's saying, like,
it's
oh,
the
there's
same
a...
city, though.
There's a Florida Panthers. Why can't there... Why should the Carolina Panthers be a thing?
It's true.
You know how many teams are named, like, Tigers in college football?
A shit ton.
In the SEC alone?
30.
There
all
are
of them.
30 teams.
There's two Tigers and two Bulldogs in the SEC. You think that anyone really cares what their mascot's called? Especially if it's a manatee. Like, that's
Bulldog.
That's just cool. You have Georgia and you have Mississippi State.
See, and then here's the other thing. When you name the team the Manatees, you install a giant tank around the stadium.
No, people
with
are gonna, people are going to get furious about that because they're still endangered. So that's kind of iffy.
Right, yeah.
Well,
you build
like
a stadium
big,
right near
like
a manatee preserve.
Yeah,
the power plant there. You just have you just build a field right there, and the manatees swim up right next to it during the wintertime.
And they can watch the games.
Yeah,
There you go.
You put no wake signs all around the field.
Problem solved. Let's move on.
I mean, am I the only one hoping that instead of a giant rotating lion statue, Orlando City just has a big real ass lion in their new stadium?
In a cage?
Yeah.
Going with the manatee thing, Tyler Turner gets run over by a airboat. By a runaway airboat.
Wow.
Just goes careening off of him.
It just enters the field of play and just knocks him over.
Yeah, everyone gets real sad about it for like a day and then they forget and move on to the next thing.
I think we should move on too. Let's talk about NASL
things. Miss you,
Hammurabi. Rayo Oklahoma City, one of the newer NASL teams run by Rayo Vallecano. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's a team in Spain. They've just been relegated from the first division to the second division in La Liga. So now that that has happened, apparently the club is going to pull the team. They're looking to just sell all of it.
So what you mean to tell me is a club grew up maybe a little too prematurely and then had something adverse happen to them where they lost?
This club was thrown together in what, literally like 2 months before the opening of the season?
Yeah.
Right. And it's in a city where there was already a soccer team that was well
owned
like,
by
developed.
A Liga team that is already not good.
Yeah.
Mind you.
Which
because
team?
Mind you, out in the Liga, if you're not one of the top five teams, you have like no money.
Yeah, and no one, like, I had to look up Rayo Vallecano before, like, when this was announced.
I had no idea who they were.
So, like,
I like La Liga.
So, Luis Yanez, who's the Rayo director, said that after they were relegated, that they are looking to take the sales down, in quotes, at Rayo OKC. So, I don't know how that's exactly going to work, but yeah, it can't really be too promising if you're the NASL because you have a team coming in saying, "Yeah, we're supporting you," and then they're like, "Yeah, we're gonna sell now. Bye."
I'm nodding in agreement.
Yep. All right, move on. Adidas, they made a fuck up. They
just
misspelled
slight level spelling error.
Slight
right
oopsie.
Now.
Yeah. So they misspelled Columbia, the country Columbia, as Columbia, the college Columbia. On all their ads for Copa America. So they spelled C-O-L-U-M-B-I-A when it's C-O-L-O-M-B-I-A. And they even had, like, the balls. Like, I saw pictures of, like, their setup. They had the balls, like, with the Colombian
spelled
flag on
correctly.
It. Correct. Yeah, it's spelled correctly. Like, how do you mess up that badly?
I like to think of it that they misspelled it not as the college, but as Columbia, Ohio, which is even more insulting because you've just now associated an entire country with Ohio.
Ew. I mean, my only good thing I can say about Ohio is that they produce 21 Pilots, and that's really
I can't even say that about Ohio.
Really?
I can't think of one good thing that Ohio has made.
They made our managing editor.
Kyle Foley. he is currently sitting behind the goal at Soldier Field.
Did he just walk over there? Is that actually where he's sitting?
No, he's like sitting in the first row.
No, I mean like no one probably stopped him is what happened.
Because
it's not that well attended is the joke. God damn it.
Yeah, no, I get that, but I'm looking at the video. It's actually like really packed behind the goals.
Well, they said that, hold on, let me find it real quick. They said like the attendance for the last game that was played there, Jamaica, Venezuela,
something like that.
I literally just wrote about it earlier today.
Yeah, he's like right at the front. Good job, Kyle. All right. As Brad looks that up, I think we should talk about Preki. Gavin, you remember Preki, right?
Where's Preki?
Yeah, that's been a question for like the last year. He started out as the Sacramento Republic's manager. Did really well, got them a championship in their first year, and then all of a sudden, midway through last year, just kind of said, "Hey, I'm moving on." And it seemed like he was going to be going to the Premier League or the championship to go coach over there, and then he just kind of disappeared. And he's kind of resurfaced and disappeared over the last few months. and he was going to apparently have a job in like Slovakia or something, and it completely fell through. So he's now without a job again.
I don't know if you saw these tweets, but about a week ago, Evan Rehm, who covers Sacramento, he's been following this story pretty closely. Evidently, Sacramento FC offered Preki, I believe, a 7-year contract, like with ridiculous amount of money to stay there. So when the club got to MLS, he would be their coach, mm-hmm. and he turned it down to go for this offer. And apparently, he had a job lined up for. He knew this guy who was gonna buy a club in England, and apparently that fell through. And he was gonna make him the coach, but and all this, you know, here we are, and still without a job.
So what's kind of interesting about that is usually before you leave a job, you'll have another one, you know, lined up before you leave.
Yeah,
that would be the logical thing to do.
But then again, this is soccer, and you know, nothing is ever logical,
right? So unfortunate, but Preki, he's out there if any team wants him.
Evidently not.
That was crickets chirping.
Yep,
is what you just heard.
Anyways, let's talk about video assisting in USL really quick, because everyone complains about the refs, how bad they are, and they want people to, you know, be able to help them or get new refs or whatever. So naturally, they're suggesting video assisting / replay / goal line technology / cameras everywhere. It's a good idea, right?
It's a good idea in theory. I mean, I'm cautiously optimistic as to how they actually execute it. Like, if they throw 100% of their support behind it and they actually, you know, give it its due diligence and, you know, treat it a little better than you would, say, the third level of soccer in the U.S. to test out new technology, then sure. But if it's just going to be like, oh, you know, we got some volunteers to come and look at some goal line replay and see how that works out, it's going to be like,
especially if ones who don't necessarily know the rules, like the ball, like touched the line. Oh, it touched the line. That's a goal, right?
I know exactly who's going to be volunteering to do it for OCB.
Who, pray tell?
Timothy.
Okay, you don't have to. Let's move on. Back to NASL. Really
oh,
quick.
Shit.
What?
I just watched, who's that? Is that Royals and Orioles swinging on each other?
Oh, there's a fight?
There's a fight.
Baseball
fight. Full-on baseball fight. Like, dude, like, came charging out there and just went wailing on him.
Baseball fights aren't what they used to be. Unless
no, but that's like, but that's like a legit fight. Like, they were swinging on each other.
Any good Bautista hits?
Dude came, like, charging out of the batter's box. And just took his helmet off. Just, yeah, they're throwing down pretty good.
Triple coup.
All right, let's talk about.
He basically did Winston Super, where he just like raged up and just started swinging on like four guys because it was literally the batter came out of the batter's box. Then all of a sudden, like the catcher follows after him, and then the shortstop comes down from in between second and third base, and suddenly it's one Orioles player against three Royals.
Jeez.
I think the Orioles player kind of came out ahead on that one. I say I'm being vague on purpose because I have no idea who any of these players are for either team.
All right, let's
baseball been very, very good to me.
Let's talk about NASL. Celtic from the UK, famous club. They want to bring an NASL team to the NASL. So they either want to buy one or form their own one. I mean, you already see how it's going with the Rayo team in NASL and obviously NYCFC in MLS.
I mean, Celtic are good, right?
Celtic, yeah.
Why would they want to poop on their brand by buying an NASL team?
They're trying to expand their brand, much like Manchester City buying an MLS team.
I mean, they see a growth market and they know they want to get in on the ground floor of it. So it's one of those things where as a business, you're like, oh, hey, the cap isn't exactly, there isn't much competition going on really per se as far as international teams coming in and taking advantage of a new market. So why not get our stab at it too while the going's hot?
Come on.
They could always just team up
green.
With the Boston Celtics.
Oh, God.
Yeah, they could. Keep the green alive. Last thing for MLS, NASL, USL,
dear Lord,
US
that Bobby
soccer.
Wood goal.
That Bobby Wood goal indeed. Currently, U.S. tied with Colombia in standing, if the result holds. That'd be kind of cool.
But then doesn't Colombia just get to play Paraguay and win?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
So. Anyways, let's talk some kind of, it's not really soccer, but could be soccer. The Orlando Solar Bears, who are in the third division of
professional hockey,
the ECHL.
North American Hockey, yeah.
Currently AA league, technically. They have been announced that their league will be joining the EA Sports NHL 17 franchise.
Yep.
So minor league hockey will be in NHL. This begs the question, will USL or NASL be in FIFA over the next year or two? Because it's the same company.
Here's the thing. The CHL and like a lot of other minor league, literally other minor leagues in hockey have been in NHL, the NHL series for, I think about 3 or 4 years now. Adding the ECHL is just basically, you know, just getting all their bases covered as far as different leagues go at this point. I saw it was put out there that someone had made a mod for FIFA 16 where they added all the NWSL teams. Like they had like there's a trailer that was on YouTube for it. I don't think it's going to be much of a stretch to really think that the NWSL is going to get in there before the NASL or the USL.
Yeah, I think that's definitely a possibility, especially with the whole women's national team inclusion.
Yeah, I mean,
they always want to try and push that a little bit more, make it. A little...
I mean, rightfully so. I mean, you have a pretty big section of female gamers now, and also you know sports fans in general. I mean, people show up to U.S. women's national team games. Was it the World Cup? It was the highest viewed ever U.S. soccer match, and that includes men's matches as well.
Yeah.
So I mean,
this was the final. You mean?
Yeah, this was the World Cup final last year against Japan.
Yeah, I was in a where was I? I was in a hostel in Barcelona watching that at 4 a.m.
Not getting tortured by Eli Roth's buddies.
No.
I was on Wall Street, and I was surrounded by Ruckus members, and I was about as uncomfortable as you can imagine I was. I was like, I don't even write for the mainland yet, and I feel weird.
All right. I think we should move on to other things, as the U.S. are up 3-0 as we're recording this. Weird news. Guys, I know you have some really good weird news. Hey, Gavin? Yeah, I figured.
there goes Gavin.
Damn it, Gavin. Brad, what do you got?
So, Seattle-caught salmon found to contain cocaine, antidepressants, and pain relievers. Salmon is purported to be one of the healthiest foods due to its high omega-3 content, protein, and essential fatty acids. But if the fish is obtained from the Puget Sound, it is anything but healthy. According to a recent study, up to 81 drugs and personal care products were detected in the flesh of salmon caught in the Puget Sound. Some of the drugs included Prozac, Advil, Benadryl, Lipitor, and even cocainum. The Seattle Times reports that the levels are reputed to be so high because either people in the area use more of the drugs detected or because wastewater plants are unable to fully remove the chemicals during treatment. Another theory is that leaky septic tanks are contributing to the problem as high fecal coliform counts were detected. Coliform.
Not chloroform.
Coliform.
Oh.
C-O-L-I-F-O-R-M.
Okay.
Said Jim Meador, an environmental toxicologist at the NOAA's Northwest Fisheries Science Center in Seattle, said the concentrations in effluent water are higher than we expected. We analyzed samples for 150 compounds, and we had 61% of them detected in effluent. So we know these are going into the estuaries. So basically what that's saying is, hey, Seattle's doing a lot of drugs right now, so don't eat any salmon from Seattle. Jesus.
The Puget Sound. And drugs. Gavin.
See there?
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. What's your story?
So this is takes place in my hometown currently in Palm Coast, Florida. Yesterday in one of our busier sections, right in front of the Walmart, in case you were wondering, this let you know what kind of event this is about to be. We have a alligator that was crossing the street using the crosswalk the entire way because he thinks he's people, and that's just the most adorbs thing I've ever seen, honestly.
It's a dark-skinned person trying not to get a jaywalking ticket.
You have this 5-foot alligator crossing Cypress Parkway. Police officers showed up to help escort the they had to hold off traffic to help escort the gator across the road. So he just waltzes on a cross. I mean, he used the crosswalk like he was people. I mean, little did people know that he was just shooting the album for his Beatles cover band, but that's it's very cute.
Okay.
It's peak Florida, honestly, if you ask me.
All right. So my weird news story comes from Time Magazine. Burger King has merged a Whopper and a burrito to make a Whopperito.
Oh.
So this answers the question if a burrito is a sandwich or not.
You want to get me
heated? Is that a yes?
Are you trying to get me heated?
So, yeah, this is an actual thing. It's got the Whopper meat, cheese, meat, lettuce, tomato, onions, and pickles all wrapped in a tortilla.
Here's the thing. I don't know if any of you guys have ever been here. There is a place in Deerfield Beach, Florida, called El Jefe Luchador. It is a Mexican Mexican wrestling themed taco place.
Where is this?
It's in Deerfield Beach.
Where is that?
It's just south of Boca Raton, just north of Fort Lauderdale.
Sounds interesting.
They're a sister restaurant of Charm City Burgers. So what they have there is they have a burger taco.
Burger taco.
They have a burger taco.
So that's just a taco with burger meat.
It's a patty, but it's like basically like cut in half, but with like burger topping on it. Like it has like lettuce, tomato, pickle, cheese. Like it's made. Hold on, I'll pull up the menu real quick.
Four Rivers makes some barbecue tacos, don't they?
Yeah, they do that on occasion. They have, I mean, once in a while they'll have their like Taco Tuesday, but it's not all the time. Mm-hmm. So it's called the El Don Hamburgerizo. it is a Charm City burger blend with queso sauce, mayonesa picante, lettuce, tomato, onion, double decker taco shell. And I believe they do flour tortillas there. But it's really good. It's in Deerfield.
All right.
It's worth checking out if you're in the Deerfield Beach area and for whatever reason you don't know about El Jefe Luchador. They also have El Chicharron, which is a crispy pork belly taco that I really like.
Crispy pork belly. Jeez.
Yeah. They have El Cornel, which is a southern fried chicken taco.
We're just rambling on about
it. It's a fried chicken taco. It's really great.
Before we move on to our next segment, I just want to...
Really hurting for some Four Rivers.
I want to talk about this really quick. Our affinity with Guy Fieri,
Does it reemerge?
He has released a new product called Superfly Chai Tea.
Mm-hmm. Can I buy this at my local Publix?
You can indeed.
Ooh,
it is in
special.
It's K cups with Guy Fieri in pink written all over around it.
Now, like, what is this?
Pink, the artist pink?
Or? No, like in pink writing.
I thought for a second he was getting together with pink.
That would be an interesting mashup
on the,
there.
On the foil K cup lid itself, it says it contains milk, soy, and coconut.
Yeah.
Every chai tea I've ever had has not had coconut in it.
That's why it's super fly chai tea.
Good God. This man must be stopped.
This is a man with two successful restaurants. Obviously, there's a problem.
And a very extensive vocabulary of made up words.
What is it? Donkey sauce?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh,
donkey sauce.
Donkey sauce gonna take you to Flavortown. Makes me think of Donkey Lips from Salute Your Shorts. You guys ever see that?
No.
Old Nickelodeon live action show.
Oh.
What's it called?
God, this was early 90s, right? Salute Your Shorts?
Yeah. It ran from 1991 to 1993. So that tells you the level of quality.
That was
The first episode aired June 1st, 1991. The final episode aired September 12th, 1992.
You realize that was like 3 years before I was even conceived.
I was just born the end of 91.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, Nickelodeon re-aired like the same four live-action shows well into like the 2000s. So
isn't Nickelodeon bringing back a channel based on like just 90s shows?
Yeah. Because awesome? Everything they make now is terrible.
Definitely. Since iCarly, I just can't watch that network.
What was the Jamie Lynn Spears show?
Zoe
101.
Yeah, Zoe 101.
You already know I've peeped every episode of that.
Then she got preggers and everything.
Yeah, that ruined it for me. When she got pregnant, that just kind of ruined my view.
She's going to get all fat and nasty now. Ugh.
Basically, every show on the children's network these days are awful. Well, most of them.
Not Dog with a Blog.
I beg to differ on that.
That's because it's not on anymore.
What was that one? Sam and Cat? That was just terrible.
I did like Gravity Falls, but
Gravity Falls was good.
It's barely considered a kids show.
Yeah. Steven Universe as well.
Steven Universe is really good. Girl Meets World.
Well, that's Boy Meets World. That's like taking an idea from the 90s that was really popular and building off of that.
Yeah, but you know, it still makes it good.
Dog. Still also related to the 90s.
Great, but it's technically it's original.
It's also the same creators, same writers, and everything.
It's for the most part the same cast, just with the younger generation added in too.
Right. All right. We got on a weird tangent here. Let's we're already almost
step
at
by
an
step?
Hour. Yeah.
Anyone?
Step by Step.
Hold on. Suzanne, I remember Suzanne Summers.
Oh, God. Okay. I think we need to just move on here.
Summers.
Patrick, yeah, I was right. It was Patrick Duffy. That's what I was going to get to.
All right. Let's go ahead and talk about...
Angela Watson. What's up, girl?
Let's go ahead and do What's Your Beef here. With the cow moving. Gavin, do you have a beef this week?
I would like Dunkin' Donuts to bring back its Arnold Palmer Culottes, if I were being honest.
Were they good?
Oh, they were delicious. That's where I discovered Arnold Palmer's.
I discovered that I had a hard time. I never tried
one until I got the culotta, and I was like, damn, this is good. And then I would get one literally every day. And then they stopped making it because the summer ended, and now they haven't brought it back. So now I'm just kind of eating those blueberry ones like they're all right.
I mean, is it technically summer yet? It's still June.
Yeah. I mean, if they brought back the culottas, I feel like that's a sign.
Isn't that... like going to happen sometime soon?
Yeah, aren't they? I mean, they offer culottas year round, but they have like seasonal offerings, don't they?
I mean, maybe.
Meh.
We'll see. We'll see how that plays out.
Brad, you got a beef this week?
Yeah, I have a beef. So I bought a PS4 so I could be one of the cool kids and join in and play Overwatch with everyone. And for a week, I think I played I played once with Brent and then once with Kyle. And then I heard that they're going to have like a model refresh. So when the PS4 gets a VR later on, that the processor for it's not going to make it look like absolute ass. So then I was like, hey, why did I wait the week before E3 to buy a pre-owned PS4 and when I could have just waited and see if it was even worth buying one?
Well, when's this new version coming out? Probably not till later this year, right?
Well, I mean, it's just a model refresh, so it's not like they're debuting a brand new console altogether. No. So they could.
It's just like when they brought out the new Xbox Slims and the PS4 Slims.
They could have an announcement at E3 and then literally
A week away.
Yeah, well, or do it the same day even, because that's what they did. That's what PlayStation did when they released the PS3 final model for the PS3. But it does. I mean, I guess. You know, there's really more of a beef on what I did than anything else. My beef is with myself, ultimately, because I did a dumb.
Took an L right there, dude.
Yeah, there's a crying Jordan meme on that, on me playing Overwatch. So there I am as May, and then just taking that L.
It happens. Well, now you're not going to be able to play with us until the new model comes out.
Oh, did you get rid of your PlayStation already?
Well, no, I'm just whether or not it's, you know, whether it's worth getting one or not, then I can just buy the same pre-owned PS4 again.
So you're going to wait a week, then see what they do at E3, and then go from there?
Yeah.
which makes sense.
Right.
But why return it now?
Like, because you only have like 7 days to return it.
Did you only get your PS4 7 days ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
Everyone is counting on me.
Basically how I feel when it comes to this.
The Gopher Watch soundboard. All right. My beef is with the new Twitter update on Android. So they updated the app.
On Android?
Yes. Shut up.
It's noon.
So they updated the new app on Twitter, and basically it now looks like Tinder. And like, I'm not even kidding. Let me pull out my phone here. Like, the
this is really great for audio listeners too, by the way. You're going to show them what an app looks like on Android.
If you have Android,
they already know.
Yeah. So this is like, it pulls out to the side when you want to change users or go to settings. There's not like a.
It's looked like that on iOS Google Maps forever.
Google Maps?
Yeah.
This is Twitter though.
Whoa.
Yeah. Twitter.
I thought you were showing me like a Google Plus account. I was like, do we need to talk?
That's the thing though. That's the thing. Basically, Google, they made it look like Google Plus. Like, they have a little like, so they have the regular Twitter, and then they have all at the top. So you like tap your little profile picture.
I'm checking my iOS app right now. Just to, hey Tinder.
Yeah, it's just really annoying. I don't.
Yeah, no, mine's still.
Still the normal?
Still has the normal page loadout. Still has my Indiana Jones, we're going to die banner.
So yeah, that's my beef.
And my picture of the week. Work.
All right. I think that'll do it for our beef this week. I think we should move on to predictions. Yay. Yes?
Yeah, let's do it.
We've rambled on so much during this show. It's like an hour of bullshit. Sure, that.
That was Hanzo killing the cow.
Poor cow.
Well, beef is done, isn't it?
That is true. All right, we've
Let
got...
the dragon consume you!
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 games to pick.
Oh, goodness.
That's a lot of games.
Most of them are either Copa America games or Euros.
That's a lot of games.
Brazil-Haiti is the first one. Gavin, we'll start with you because you're not here.
Brazil.
Sure. Oh, wait. Before we go into our predictions, we need to go back to last week and refresh that.
Do we have to?
Yeah. Brad, yeah, you didn't do so hot. 3-4. Gavin, you and I tied for the best record, 5-2.
Yeah, there we go.
Actually, Brent technically won.
Oh.
But he's not here, so it doesn't count.
Right.
What, did he go 5-1-1?
No, he went 5-2, but he got a bonus because he predicted that the U.S. women's national team would draw the first game and win the second game. So he technically wins that. We tied for second, then Kyle came in third, and Brad was last.
Nerf this. 8-7. Yeah. That's bad.
Who?
Me.
Oh, okay. All right. So Gavin picked Brazil for this week against Haiti. Brad, Brazil?
Yeah.
Kind of like a given almost. But it's in Orlando, so.
Stoppage time? Is that what we're hinting at?
No, I'm just saying that that's the reason we're picking it, even though the result's probably going to be Brazil.
Justice rains down upon you.
That's not what she says.
Uruguay and Venezuela. Gavin.
You're a tie draw.
Oh my god. Costa Rica almost scored.
Brad Guzan did a thing?
No. The Post did a thing.
Oh. Well.
Look. Boink.
By that I mean he got what should have been beat, but
yep.
We're all soldiers now.
All right. Tie for Gavin. Brad. Uruguay, Venezuela.
You know, let me think about this.
I've got you in my sights.
Venezuela.
Okay. I'm going to go Uruguay. This way, only one of us can be right. Mexico and Jamaica.
Mexico.
No face in the reggae boys?
No.
Chicharito
Andre
playing?
Blake?
Chicharito playing?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, they're not going to win.
All right. Argentina, Panama.
I do predict that some El Tri fan is going to throw a bottle of piss on someone.
El Tri?
Yeah, whatever.
That's definitely a possibility.
I'm taking
rule it out.
I'm if there's a prop bet for bottles of piss thrown on opposing goaltenders, I'm taking it at 4.
Okay. Gavin, pick a winner between Argentina and Panama.
Argentina. Is Messi going to play in that one?
I don't know. Did you just snort coke?
No.
Like it sounded like you just snorted a whole thing of something.
No, that's not a snort. That's a booger. Trust me on this one.
Inspector Brad knows.
Yeah.
Speaking of, who's going to win Argentina-Panama?
Argentina.
For whatever reason, when you said Inspector Brad, I just really got the urge to drink a chocolate milk.
that's what he does. He's like Kevin Love, but actually gets stuff done.
All right, now we're going to Euros. England-Russia is going to be one of the first games that they play. Gavin, who you got?
England-Russia. England.
It's a fair assessment. Brad?
Heroes never die.
Is Andrei Ashavin playing for Russia still? No? England.
When was the last time Andrei Ashavin played for Russia?
When was the last time Andrei Ashavin played?
4 years
ago?
When
was the last time Russia... Fabio Capello still coaches Russia, doesn't he?
Maybe.
When was the last time Andrei Ashavin actually did play? He's 35 years old now.
He played this year for...
Yeah, no, he played for
Kazakhstan.
Kairat? Kairat?
Kairat?
FC Kairat. All right. Good for him. So yeah, I'm going to go England as well, because that's... my other home country.
Kazakhstan, greatest country in the world. All other countries are run by little girls. Kazakhstan, number one export of potassium. Other countries have inferior potassium.
All right. Last game that we're going to pick
home
for
of the tension swimming pool. It's like 30 meter and six width 6 meter.
Gavin, pick
filtration
a
system of marvel
okay.
to behold.
I'm going
to
mute your mic. Belgium, Italy. Gavin, who you got?
These Euro matchups are so much better than Copa America. I'm going to go with a draw.
We only picked the good ones. That's the thing. There's a lot of other of them are garbage.
Yeah, but Euros in general, just European teams are so much better.
Yeah.
You could easily make that argument.
Yeah, pretty easily.
Brad?
God damn.
Belgium or Italy?
Ronaldo and his stupid abs.
What?
I hate Conte for what he said about MLS, so I'm going to go Belgium. But Fellaini's still going to get like a spear through the chest or something.
I'll go Belgium.
Fellaini.
As long as Lukaku...
He dyed his hair blonde. Marouane Fellaini dyed his afro blonde.
Lukaku doesn't get transferred to Chelsea soon, I will root for Belgium.
Lukaku's on his way to Chelsea. I refuse to
believe it.
Yeah.
He's going back.
Thibaut
to
Courtois.
Chelsea. What?
Thibaut Courtois.
Thibaut? Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, last game. And it's not any major tournament. It's the Orlando Pride playing against the Western New York Flash.
That's the reason why I said that is because he's Belgian. Thibaut Courtois.
Gavin, Pride or the Flash? Remember, Pride have like no one with them right now because
they're
all
international.
Yeah, but
then again, the Flash have no one either. So.
But they didn't have anyone to begin with.
Right.
I still take confidence in the Pride.
Yeah.
You got Pride in the Pride?
Yeah. I've got Pride for my Pride.
Brad?
Yeah, Pride. Because, I mean, even without Alex Morgan, they still have Yasmin Spencer and...
As long as Jasmine Spencer is still alive, we're good.
Yeah, and Leanne Sanderson, and literally everyone who actually contributes to the team.
Fair. Well, guys, We made it through another one.
The U.S. almost scored.
So currently, we are watching in the 72nd minute of this U.S. Costa Rica game. By the time you're listening to this, the result
really,
will already be decided.
Really bad. Bedoya should have shot. He really should have shot instead.
Who did he lay it
cross.
Off to?
Zardes.
Zardes could have put that away too.
Yeah. Well, except he was about a step behind it.
He's also Jesse Zardes.
Yeah. Bedoya should have shot. I don't care. He should have shot.
This referee is very.
The ref just like did like a weird sort of like Macho Man Randy Savage like finger guns at Demp, and it was really sort of. He looked like he was trying to intimidate him, but it didn't really work.
Listen to me.
We're also giving live commentary of a match that is already done by the time this podcast comes out, so we should probably end it here.
I think we should too. Just after what happens here. Nope. Okay, moving on. Yeah. Okay. So that's gonna do it. For us here, I think I'm going to have to call Kyle and Brent and get their prediction. But until then, for Gavin Eubank and for Brad Newton and myself, Austin David, we will have one last thing as we close out this show. But thanks for listening to episode 24. We'll be back next week for episode 25.
Ball's following him around.
Wood turning, shooting. Bobby Wood, 3-0 U.S.